United States Institute of Peace, along with SiriusXM's POTUS Channel 124, now present their weekly podcast.
Joining us now is Keith Mines, the director of the Latin America Program, the United States Institute of Peace. He comes to bring us the very latest on what's happening with Haiti right now. Keith, welcome and good morning. How are you?
Great. Good to be here. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. There were flights that finally arrived to the United States coming out of Haiti for Americans, private charter or charter flights for Americans trying to escape the violence and unrest in Haiti. Bring us up to speed, because the last many people heard, you had a decision from a leader to step down in the wake of all of the gang violence.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very complicated situation. And just when you think things can't get any worse, they do. But you had basically a collapse of the governing structure, such as it was last month, when Prime Minister Henry, thinking he was kind of secure after he passed one deadline for an election, seemed to have come and gone. So he went off to Kenya to try to stir up support for a multinational security mission that would help stabilize the country, and then was off to CARICOM to do some political regional work. And while he was out, the gang sprung 4,000 people from jail, attacked police stations, and then assaulted the airport. So basically shut down the country to commercial flights, and have now kind of got the country in a stranglehold. So he was stuck outside the country, and that then led to another round of political negotiations to try to form a new transitional government that would be more inclusive, that would have better connections to the Haitian people, and that would allow the country a governing structure that could match the incoming Kenyan multinational security force. Nothing right now, frankly, is set in stone. That government has not been formed yet. They're still working on that, but there's still a lot of questions up in the air about both the security and the political sides of the equation.
I mean, I just hear the phrase, the government has not been formed yet. And I think, my God, what is the timeline for one to be formed?
Well, they've been working on this. It's a hard thing. Haiti's just a really tough political environment. I think people sometimes look at it and wish it were easier. It's just not. It's a hard political environment, and there's always a kind of an air of violence in the background. Unfortunately, political leaders have often turned to gangs for muscle to their own causes. So it's a place that's just a really hard political environment. There's a tendency to attack other political players very quickly and persistently. So there's a lot of work that would, I think, still need to be done to make this governing structure inclusive. They're trying to use a formula that, frankly, is a pretty good formula. It was used in 2004 when the government also collapsed. It's kind of a council of notables or a council of sages that would have seven or eight or nine people in this case that would be part of a governing structure. And from that, they would select either on a rotating basis or one time a kind of first among equals to be the country's leader. The other thing that's always in play is Haiti's constitution, like many constitutions, acting to a long period of dictatorship, they may have overcompensated in some ways. So the split between the prime minister and the president is really a kind of a funky arrangement. And it's never quite sure how that's supposed to go. And that's been one of the problems, I think, in governing in the last 2.5 years and even before that. So it's a very difficult political environment. Talks are ongoing, and you know, let's wish them luck, because they need a functional government and they need it now.
Yeah, I mean, the role of the United States in trying to address or even influence, I mean, what could it be?
Well, the U.S. is involved in these talks. They're actually being facilitated by CARICOM with some outside experts. They're also kind of challenged, I think, by the fact that they're being done by Zoom. I think that, you know, some of the CARICOM facilitators are together in Jamaica, but I think that a lot of it's being done with the Haitian actors by Zoom. It's not a terrifically effective way to hold a negotiation, frankly. I'm not even sure it's ever been done before. So I think part of the pressure that needs to be brought to bear maybe isn't there. The United States is supportive of the process, is involved in a on a certain level. But one of the things that I think you notice is that it just needs a closer. Those of us that watch Suits, we need Harry Specter. You know, we need somebody to come in and close the deal. So Harvey Specter, sorry. But we need somebody that can close the deal and then has the incentives and then the longer term accompaniment to make sure that this new government is up and running.
You know, the U.S. eventually, I think the U.S. had asked for, what, $300 million in funding, but Congress is now trying to get some greater clarity on the mission and the needs. But then Kenya is playing an interesting role because they had signed up to be in a supportive position about a year ago. Obviously, things have changed since then to now.
Yeah, that's one of the things that has gotten complicated is Kenya signed up. It was a very long-term process, unfortunately, to get this whole thing together. But the UN, the Haitians asked for support. They asked for help all the way back in October of 2022, and it took about a year for the UN to authorize a multinational security force. So it's not a conventional peacekeeping operation where the UN sends its own force. They basically authorize another country to lead the posse and go out and form that force. The Kenyans stepped up to that heroically, frankly, and said they would lead that and they would have a first force of 1,000 that would be then built out with other countries that would provide forces and funding and weapons and all the rest. But they signed up in a time when it was a little simpler than what it is now. That was a time when it was supporting what looked like a weak but quasi-functional government in Haiti. With the government now in exile, with the gangs having now taken over even more territory and threatening to actually try to govern the country themselves, it's kind of passed to, I think, a heavier mission than what was initially envisioned, which was a police mission. So there is a question about what's needed up front. The other thing that they've insisted on, and I think they're smart about this, is they've said they want to see a functional government, as I understand it, before they actually deploy. So that actually could be some of the pressure that's needed to get this government together. But there's a question about funding. They need to see the funding stream up front so they know they have a clear funding stream. They need, again, a bit more muscle probably up front as they go in to deploy. And then probably a number of other forces would be needed. Again, the U.S. has tried to promote something, kind of lead from behind, if you will. The U.S. does not want to deploy forces to this force, but it is a little weaker without U.S., Canadian, and other regional forces. Those things would be really helpful. And we've argued a couple of times that if the U.S. can't provide forces, there would be a way to contract some of this out under a U.S. flag. And I know it's got some people nervous, the notion of contracting, but it's been used very effectively in a number of other peacekeeping missions to provide those more skilled and heavier forces that are needed at a time like this.
Well, we'll continue to watch what's happening. Obviously, the violence and unrest is unbelievable to witness from abroad and to see the fragility of the government and what could come next. Keith Mines, director of the Latin America program, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Laura. Good to be here.
This podcast has been brought to you by the United States Institute of Peace and SiriusXM's POTUS, Channel 124.